Welcome to the 40K Lorecast.
Welcome to 40K Lorecast with John Barsotti and Brad Chester.
This guy.
Not the sky, this guy. We had a comment.
I changed it to that.
Today we'll be diving into the Officio Assassinorum, which you've no idea how hard it is to spell that into Microsoft Word and how much Microsoft Word hates it. Or as it's better known, the Imperial Nightmare Zone, because these things are not fun.
Nothing's good's going to happen today.
Yeah, between today and in the next cast, we're going to make the Astra Telepathica look kind of reasonable. Yeah,
it's love.
But as always, before we begin, please comment and like the podcast. It actually does help us out a lot when you do this. It helps us reach a much wider audience because it boosts us up within Spotify primarily, but also iTunes and all the other listening services. Second, if you haven't already, please join our Discord. The link is in the show notes. You can just click on that link; it'll take you right in. It's free to join. Really good communities being built in there right now. We've got stuff from people asking questions about lore to correcting us on our errors on some of our past casts, which it happens.
We've had some really wild discussions about life in general,
though. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's been great. People just kind of talk and get in there. It's a really healthy community. So if you're just looking for a place to interact around 40K lore or just 40K, I call it 40K light. It's not that much competitive stuff in there. So just a nice, healthy
community. Lore in general, though. We talk a lot about, we offshoot. I really like the Discord, the fact that we talk about a lot of the things that we're going to have in common, which is sci-fi, mm-hmm. fantasy.
Oh, yeah. There's a video game channel there.
Movies, video games, literature and stuff like that, and give recommendations. Hey, what did you think about this? And
yeah, about once a week, maybe once every other week, someone informs me that Stargate SG-1 was a good show and I'm wrong. And I'm going to go ahead and stand my ground here. And it was an entertaining show in my youth. Watching it now, let's just say that some episodes are a miss, just like Briscoe County Jr. I loved that show when I was 10 and I watched it.
Briscoe County Jr.
Yeah, it was really good when I was 10 and I rewatched it recently. And it turns out it's one out of three.
Six fans of that are going to really be.
Oh, excited. They're losing their minds. Like, you're right. Yeah, it was great on every third episode. We also have a link in our notes to our Patreon. If you like what we're doing and you want to help us out, it's a great way to do it. What you're listening to right now is thanks to Patreon. We were able to get some new microphones. We've actually got an audio editor who's cleaning up our casts quite a bit. So if you can help us out, it really would be great. If you think the quality's gone down since it started, also tell me and I'll dig the old microphones out of the garbage. But those of you who have contributed, thank you. It really has helped out a lot. And we hope that your contribution, you feel you've got something back for it. Lastly, Brad's a coach of 40K. 30 years of playing the game, longer than some of our listeners have been alive. He actually got kind of good at it.
And I can do anything from the very beginning, and I have been doing this, and a couple of people from this cast I'm now doing coaching for. I do one-offs. Mm-hmm. I do every week. I do really anything you're looking for, and it's anything from my last two people that I just had start. One is I want to learn the game. I have not played it at all. Mm-hmm. This is the lore cast. And another is I used to compete at an international level. And I want to coach. Yeah. So that's my level of coaching. Everything in between.
Yep. So if you're looking for that service, Brad's available. You can reach out to him via his email address, which is
oldmanbrad40k@gmail.com
or the 40klorecast.com. Click on his profile. At some point, he'll make a webpage. Anyway, on to the sadness. So we're not going to start actually with the worst part of it.
This is.
Which is the assassins. We're going to start with the worst of the worst of all of the Imperium.
This is so much worse.
Yeah. This is the assassins are sadness. The Schola Progenium makes sadness go, well, it's not that bad.
This is a collection of every bad story you've heard about children having bad things happen to them to make them into a government agent. But
yeah.
exponentially worse. I mean, just so worse.
Yeah, the Scola progenium we haven't touched on yet, and this is a good time to do it because it's going to pay dividends in some of the other stuff we do. And we do sisters, we do a lot of them. It all comes from Scola progenium. So Scola progenium is now part of the Adeptus Ministorum. So that's worse, but it actually goes back to before the Horus heresy when it wasn't that bad. Different name then, doesn't matter what it was. So effectively...
Well, as with most programs of this nature, it had a reason. It had a honorable goal that got pretty dark pretty fast too. But like, we have good goals and like, what are you doing? Tomorrow I'm going to punch a baby. Like, what happened yesterday? We skipped all that good stuff.
We skipped all that stuff. We're moving right into this one. So the Scola progenium was born out of the fact that when you have a galaxy at war, a lot of people die. And a lot of people that die have children. So the Scola progenium is a fancy word for imperial orphanage.
Imperial, scary, awful orphanage.
It was implied. I think when we implied that the Imperium of Mankind was running a orphanage run by the Adeptus Ministorum, I don't think everyone was like, oh, is it a good thing?
I mean, the fact that they started testing the children as infants.
Yeah. So here's the darkest part of what we're about to cover. We're only talking about the orphans who come from one or either, it's usually both parents are soldiers, or at least one of them's a soldier who die in warfare, their child. This doesn't cover the orphans who happen on a hive city or an agri world thanks to an accident. Those ones actually have a worse situation.
Maybe. Depends on where
actually, yeah, that's a good point. Say,
really depends on what curriculum you get chosen in.
Yeah.
And you don't pick it. You get...
Do you have the pariah gene? Yay or nay?
Hopefully for you, nay.
Nay's a lot better. Be really good at engineering and maybe it won't be all nightmares. So
it's going to be all nightmares.
Yeah. The Scola progenium, I mean, look, I'm going to be candid here. It gets pretty rough. What we're talking about is a bunch of orphans who have nowhere to go, no other option but to starve or die, who are being pulled in to the Imperium to serve a purpose.
Well, we're not going
to
talk about a lot of the hows, but
yeah,
the depending on the role, and we're talking about assassins today, mm-hmm. especially the assassins, the Imperium wants to break your mind. The ways that they do this are... Wow.
Yeah. We're not even going to get into the worst parts of it. So Scola progenium, I'm just going to say for people who want to know more about it, read it on your own. I'm not doing a cast on it because it's kind of like, I don't even like talk.
Effectively, you go, hey, man, what would shatter a child's mind forever so that
I don't even want to, I just don't want to spend time on it. Yeah. So
it's pretty sketchy.
Yeah. They cover it pretty well. And I actually will give GW credit for the most part. They hinted at it and stayed away from the really bad stuff. But
they hint at it and you know, your own mind goes there.
Exactly.
You're like, oh no. Why did you make me think that? Like, yeah.
So I think the note I wrote here is we're going to focus on the positive with extremely strong air quotes here of this Scola progenium. So let's talk about how it functions. And this is nice because it kind of helps us cover both this cast, but also some future ones we do, primarily sisters. But there's a few other parts of like the, I believe Arbites also come from here sometimes. There's quite a few things that feed
it's,
this.
It's, if you're kind of normal, the problem is, let's talk about the school.
Yeah.
There's never been a school where something terrible happened to you by excelling. If you excel at all, you are going to be put into...
Yeah, So let's kind of, it's basically a flow chart is how the Scola progenium comes in.
You want to do median or worse.
No. If you do worse, you die.
No. You have to median. You have to be.
Right. Yeah.
You have to be in the zone, the sweet zone.
There's a little sweet zone where you kind of end up. You're still going to, it's the Imperium. You're going to end up dead in the end, but you end up dying much later than much sooner.
You can also live like. If you're an Arbite, you can just judge Dread for a while.
Yeah, Arbites, there's a few little spots you can get into. But even like Sisters of Battle, depends which one you get.
Right. Like, hey, man, I said my prayer wrong, and now I'm a penitent engine.
So. Well, I think more saying it's sacrosanct. It's like,
I mean, again, we're doing the full Sisters thing, and what happens to you in Sisters is almost always, this is terrible.
Actually, in the research, I wonder if they have a higher mortality rate than Guardsmen.
You want the immortality, right? Because if you don't die, we'll be good
ancestors. All right. So back to Scholar Progenium. So the way Scholar Progenium works is it is just a flow chart of sadness. So every time you succeed or fail, they move you into the next part of it. And this begins, by the way, on the ships. So the way Scholar Progenium functions is just like the black ships. There are ships all over the galaxy moving around full of orphans. But while on the ship, they are going through training and
raising. You're testing the whole time.
And so at the end of this kind of this flow chart, you end up in one of the specializations for it. This can be, because don't forget, this is how they create their fighting forces. In fact, like Scions come from Scholar Progenium. Well, Sisters, Scholar Progenium.
They're super crazy.
Inquisitors.
They're not even just loyal. They're insane because they're zealots. Because you got picked up and just got the propaganda piece from age zero.
Right.
Oh, you know what I mean? You could be a baby. It really depends from then on. Which is a big deal because all of these people are huge. I think about the, screw it. I'm going with Firefly, Serenity specifically. Yeah. The agent from that is a happy-go-lucky agent compared to the Imperium. But that style of thing, they just know, hey, I'm a monster. I get shit done for the Empire.
Yeah. And that's where, so the main groups that the Scholar Progenium produces are, as we said before, Tempestus Scions, who are the commandos of the Imperial Guard. Yep. I guess Casterkins don't come from that because they're all Cadian, but it's my guess is they make them in a similar fashion to this. Sisters of Battle are primarily pulled from this. So are Sisters of Silence if you happen to have the Pariah gene. A lot of Inquisitors, this is actually not all. All Inquisitors.
The Inquisitors just straight up come from.
This is where they get all the Inquisitors from. And a lot of the Space Marines, not a lot, but some of the Space Marines will actually pull from this program as well. I think the Fists do it. It's only a few of them do it because a lot of them, it's ones who don't have a homeworld to pull from. This is what they use. But of course, also the Assassins, which is not ideal. And this is, again, I do laugh about this, that they're literally, the funny story on this, and we're going to take a side here if we get back to this, but just know, if you do so well in your Scholar Progenium testing and murder, one day you just disappear from the ship and they move you to the hidden part of the ship to begin your assassin training.
Which sucks.
Yeah, everyone probably thinks you're dead. And
you wished you were.
Oh, if you are going to be an Eversor. Again, if you're a Vindicare, it's really not that bad. The Vindicares are decent. And we're going to cover some of the other offshoots. All right, but let's now kind of take a shift from the Scholar Progenium, because that was more just us setting a stage. And let's dive into the Officio Assassinorum and start with the origins. It has its roots where you'd think forever
ago. They don't even tell you where the start is. The Officio Assassinorum is shrouded in this, which is what it should.
Yeah.
Even in the books and stuff, they always give you the shrouded in the dark times. Was it always there? Was it not? And I like that quite a bit because you're just like, is it 30,000 years old? Is it 10,000 years old? You know,
basically.
But I like that though, because it's a secret organization.
Well, yeah, it would be supposed to be. It would be lame if they were like, it was founded.
M25.
Blah, 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 blah. You're just like, yeah. But I thought it was secret assassins. And it's like,
so I love that a lot about it's supposed to be. And that also there's zero chance I'm letting you get away with this. Cause when I read this, I audibly groaned by myself because John has assassins are kind of Londonist tradition.
Let me do it. Okay. So you groaned. You did not groan. You were overjoyed by this. Assassins are, they're a longstanding tradition of war, and war never changes.
I immediately started singing Fallout songs.
Yeah.
Instantaneously.
I'm glad I did that to your brain.
I did it on Fallout 2.
Yeah, I did something nice to your brain, as opposed to what you do to it. Where your body just goes, what if I make you hurt?
Look, man, my body and I have a long-standing hatred of each other.
Yeah. It puts you in one of the, in the Black Fleet. We're going to blast loud music at you. And you're like, okay.
Got it.
Yeah. Oh, is my head going to hurt? Neat. But we don't really know when they started. So what we'll focus on is kind of the tail end of the Crusade. Because during the Dark Age of Technology, all the worlds conquered by mankind had lost contact with Terra. So a lot of them had died out. Some had turned to chaos or fell under the influence of Xenos. The first couple were obviously exterminated by the First Legion. But those that needed to survive, those that didn't survive, had to be reclaimed by the Emperor. And this is where the need for assassins came in, because we talked a lot about space marines. You know, the Emperor took the space marines and went out and conquered the stars. But, you know, like the opening, if you read the Horus Heresy, the first book, Horus Rising, where the space marines are invading a planet. I mean, I if you haven't read it, read it. The opening's really cool, because the person claims to be the Emperor of Mankind, because he's managing an entire system. Therefore, I'm the Emperor of Mankind.
Which is all people know.
Yeah, and the Space Marines are there, and they make it clear that no, you're not. Yeah.
What's a big thing on this, because the Emperor, while he's a bad British dad,
yeah,
is one of the smartest men in the galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, sometimes you don't need to wreck an entire place.
Exactly.
You want, hey, if we just take this planet over, can we instantly get it back to...
And that's where the Space Marines sucked, because the problem with the Space Marines is that they waged war. They would destroy a planet.
They wreck shit.
So why not?
They're just, really, by the way, really good at wrecking shit.
Oh, exceptional.
But they do wreck shit.
Yeah, they don't. They aim really well, but they aim for everything.
Yeah.
The problem is that for a lot of these planets, this is something you can look at world history to understand this. Very often, you have a populace who really don't care who the leader is, and a leader who cares massively who the leader is. So if you just remove said leader,
the people will still just keep going to their job.
Yeah, they don't care. Like,
who's running it? I don't care. So, I still get on this. I get on bus 32 and I go to work.
Yeah, dictator one was killed. Now we have dictator two.
Yeah,
same cool. Dictators? All right.
I'm still working at the factory, right? Yeah,
exactly.
Okay, cool.
I'm not laying my life down for this. And this is why the Assassinorum was so helpful to the Emperor at this stage. We don't talk about it that much, but there were quite a few incursions.
They were actually really big in the Crusades, though.
Yeah.
Because there was a ton of planets where, again, the Emperor's trying to do this, and the Emperor kind of had a time frame that he wanted to. It was a very arbitrary time frame, but whatever. But there was a lot of planets where it was super easy to go, I am the king of this galaxy, and you just shoot that guy in the face, and you just put some other guy.
Yeah.
And it worked super awesome.
Yeah, exactly. And because especially when we're talking about, like, make an aggro world, right? Like, I don't want to virus bomb it, because it stops being an aggro world, you know, or a hive world where it's so that they
can't lose the populace.
Yeah, where the guy is holed up right in the middle of the hive. So cool, I got to go kill 10 million people to get him.
Well, it's not even just 10 million people. It's 10 million workers, and you're ruining machinery.
Yeah, and equipment, yeah. Or I send one dude in who just nips him and, yep. Oh, look, it's my planet now.
And also you had a lot of these planets run by, I don't know, chaos psychers and things of that nature.
Yeah, I mean, but to be fair, if it was chaos psychers running the planet,
well, sometimes
during the Crusade, the Emperor might wreck it. That's true. All I'm just saying. That's one of those ones where the custodes might be like, hey, we're here now. What's with the shiny guys? And oh, okay, we're all dead.
Yeah, true story.
So this is why the Officio Assassinorum became such a key part of the Imperium, was being able to utilize this type of warfare to engage it. But, of course, they predate this. This is just the value of the Imperium. We don't actually, to Brad's point earlier, we don't know when the Officio Assassinorum started. We've just got a bunch of kind of weird little notes that don't all the way line up that well.
Yeah, this might have been a Dark Age of Technology thing.
It's quite likely. They
also kind of contradict each other when they say it. And this is one of the ones where I like that they do it. Because again, this is a shadow organization. You again should not have established on this.
Exactly.
Day. It's have we been around forever? Have we only been around 2 years? You know, you should know.
It's good that it's a secret. It's fun that it's a secret.
Yes.
So we're going to jump around timeline here a little bit, just because I think it's easier way to tell the story. But at the end of the Unification Wars, we know that there are six assassin, what's called clades. If you don't know what a clade is, it actually is a real thing. Clade, I had to Google it. Clade is a term for a group of people who share a common ancestor. So for GW, I think this is meant to be figurative. I think the ancestor was designed to be, oh, we're all, you know, coming from this style of assassin. We were all recruited into it. But it could be like the game Assassin's Creed style, where there actually is a shared genetic background. They never make that clear in any way. So there you go. But what we do know is that these assassin clades existed well before the Emperor fully ascended. And somehow, despite the Emperor wiping out the entire populace effectively of Earth with his Thunder Warriors, these assassin clades, not only do they exist, but they were not conquered, which tells me the Emperor knew about them the entire time and probably spoke with them well before he began it.
We did have some time to find shit out.
Yeah.
Thanks, Emperor, for letting the planet, the system, and everything go to shit for a while.
Well, I laugh at this a little bit because I think it's the second edition. I forget which Assassin Codex this is in off the top of my head, but in one of them, they talk about how the assassins saw the Emperor rising and decided to support him. So actually, the Emperor would go to invade an area and find the warlords were already all dead.
Yes,
because a bunch of assassins had killed them. And with no calling card, the assassins are just like, he'll figure it out. The truth is the Emperor probably did, or more likely ordered it. This is kind of the joy of this stuff, is you could read this as the assassins were in its independent body and were showing all this great, you know, stuff to the Emperor, like, look how well we support you. Or
which, by the way, for most of the planet, it was just a dude that was leading a genocidal rampage.
Yeah.
And they were like, that's my guy.
My thought process on this is that guy's also the most powerful psyker and can basically warp around, and he has Malkador. I'm pretty sure all the assassins had been notified of, like, here's what the Thunder Warriors do to people we don't like. You also decide.
Also, don't try to sneak up and kill that guy.
Yeah.
Exactly. It will go super bad for
you. Yeah. That's the thing. Say, and I have custodian guardsmen. Yeah. So it's just this double combo of, like, you can either be an assassin for me or you cannot be an assassin anymore. Those felt like the two options. But anyway, they pledged their support to the Emperor. Sort of. Imperial records are obviously...
For assassins, again, shrouded in secrecy.
Exactly.
I wish I had a better movie voice for that. Shrouded in secret. I'll work on that.
Fast forward to the end of the Unification War. The Great Crusade's about to begin. And this is where the official founding of the Officium Assassinorum.
I need to ask a question, John. Mm-hmm. If you were going to say, who were the people that founded a super sketchy, super secret, horrific organization
that specializes in murder?
Who do you think did that?
Gee, I wonder if there's two people who were super pragmatic. So it was Malkador and Constantine Valdor.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm going to be honest. I think Valdor probably was upset when he discovered there were already assassins, because he was probably building it to start
right
with.
Now.
Yeah, he's in the process.
Man.
Yeah, he's like...
And then he found out how they do things, and he went, oh, okay, never mind.
You guys are cool.
I'm on board with this.
Well, because Valdor was probably trying to do it with custodes, which, like, if you're thinking about, like, a ninja assassin, nine feet tall, 500 pounds, he'll get there.
Unless you give him infiltrate, then they can sneak up on you.
I mean, he'll get there. So the fun thing about the assassins is that when you read the Imperial history, it actually was kind of an issue for them, because the Emperor at this point, you know, don't forget, the Emperor, despite all of his powers, he can't will himself to control the minds of the entire populace. So his goal is always to kind of win them over with positivity.
I get it, but the thing that they wrote about this is they're really worried that the Emperor is going to be perceived as a ruthless dictator if he's taking out the beloved leaders of certain systems, planets, whatever.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, I get that. And that's a real concern. However, they were super okay with him showing up with tens of thousands of super soldiers dropping elbows on people.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
I think I'd want, if you went, hey, man, all of the collateral damage as the Blood Angels ruin your planet, or I could have one assassin show up and kill the ruling family.
Well, yeah, I was about to try to argue with you with the following point, and I'm going to correct it in a second. I'm like, well, they wouldn't know that that had happened because they're going to keep it from them. Like, they also could just not let people know the assassins killed some guy.
Yeah.
Right. It's the same effect. So anyway, poor writing.
These
things
happen. They said this, and I was just like, yeah, man, but the alternative is mass destruction.
Yeah. And they actually hadn't made the Eversores yet. So, yeah, you're right.
Like, yeah, at the time, it wasn't a murderous psycho, which we'll get into. Like,
the next episode.
Why does he exist?
Oh, come on. The Eversore stories are hilarious.
Yeah. Also, why does he exist?
That's wrong. It's also, actually, here's the question. You have Eversores? Why do you have Space Marines?
I mean, because it's hard to put them back on ice, but continue.
That's what I mean. I'm just saying, like, angry Space Wolf versus Eversore.
Really just anything. It's a whatever.
We'll be right back after a quick break. It's time to accept it. The holidays are upon us, and finding gifts for people is never easy or really fun. Luckily, we at the 40K Lorecast have a new sponsor, which will help you make your holiday shopping fast and easy. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. Add some personalization to your holiday shopping with Uncommon Goods. Did I go there and buy the game Fart Bingo? Yeah, I did. Is it for my child to play with his friends? We'll go with, yeah. At the same time, I was able to get a cocktail smoker. So yeah, those are probably all for me. Anyway, that's what's great about Uncommon Goods. They have uncommon, get it, collection of items you can choose from, allowing you to pick up a fun variety of items this holiday season. You'll find thousands of gift ideas that you won't find anywhere else. So, shop early, have fun, and cross some names off your list today. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/40klore, 40klore. That's uncommongoods.com/40klore for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary.
So Constantine Veldor was a dick, but Malkador was a dick, but it was more of a pragmatist. That's it. Constantine Veldor enjoyed murdering the enemies of the Emperor.
Malkador was legitimately a cold-hearted pragmatist, but he was generally looking out for the greater good.
Yeah. Whereas Constantine Veldor was...
No, he went, hey, you
the Emperor said we have to do something. The easy way for me to do it involves stabbing.
Yeah.
So...
Malkador was looking for, hey, how can I support the
Yeah. And this is where I think the true origin of the assassins came from. I think it was less about protecting the Emperor's legacy and saying, and not letting anyone know that we're using assassins, and more about just, hey, this galaxy's pretty large and we've got Space Marines everywhere. Rather than have to commit, 1,000 Space Marines and then probably, maybe not a million, but close to a million Imperial Army, why don't we just send one assassin and maybe three other dudes to kill the guy? If that's all it takes to flip a planet over, we can flip the planets a lot quicker. And then we save the force for Ragdan, we've been hitting random Drukhari, Eldar. We don't talk orcs. Like, there's a lot of stuff we have to use the military for. Why waste it on a hive world where we could just assassinate the leader and call it a day?
Yeah.
So to this end, I think this is more the true origin of it was focusing on that. So Malkador took the lead and decided to bring together these six assassin clades. But of course, he doesn't do it as Malkador. He does it as his hidden persona of the Master of Assassins. Again, insert image of Thor covering his face with the thing.
As soon as I read this in our notes when we were preparing for this, all I thought about was, Malkador's got a stage name?
Yes. I'm Malkador. No, you will refer to me as Master of Assassins.
You know what I refer to him as? DJ Master of Assassins.
That's a good
one. Or maybe even MC.
I read this, and I'm 100% the person writing it. Was thinking like only the shadow knows the true identity of the shadow. And I started laughing hysterically reading it because I'm thinking about like one of the most recognizable faces in all of the Imperium.
Oh, yeah.
Who just exudes psychic energy, is meeting with assassins, some of whom also have psychic energy. I'm like, I'm the Master of Assassins. They're like, anything, okay, like, Malkador.
I've watched vids before. You're the dude that stands next to the Emperor.
Yeah. I've literally, we're assassins. We specialize in subterfuge and knowledge. You really think we didn't know who you were? Also, you think we'd be standing here if we didn't know who you were? Because the whole point I love about this is that, he reaches out to them, a whole bunch of assassins, and says, like, oh, hey, by the way, all you assassin clade leaders, hi, master of assassins here. We've never met, but we're all going to get together and you're all going to listen to me. And they all actually met with him, which is the only reason they do that is they go, yeah, we don't want to die.
Yeah, because the other option was.
Now, the part of this I do love is that they had their meeting, and GW, I love GW writing. They had a meeting. They had to meet somewhere. Whoa.
Where did they meet?
They met on Mount Vengeance. That's what it says. Not Vindicta, which would be the Latin version of vengeance. GW didn't even make an effort here. Usually they like to kind of do their like hybrid English-Latin thing. No, they went with Mount Vengeance.
Duh.
That's where he met. So there's a mountain somewhere on Earth. By the way, mountains don't change. So it's here today. And they renamed it Mount Vengeance.
It was a secret underground lair with Dr. Evil.
Jesus Christ. I mean, put in any effort. Anyway, the meeting happens. And the thing I like about the meeting is effectively all of the assassin clades agree to hunt down the enemies of the emperor, but not at his direction. They originally were supposed to do it solo. They were supposed to just go out on their own and figure out.
This was bad. Because this was just, they went, this guy one time said something.
So I'm going to kill him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, this was.
He posted on TikTok.
Anyone who knows anything about like what Russia was like under Stalin, that's effectively what this was. Anyone was looking for someone who said something bad about the emperor to kill him so that no one could say that you heard someone say something bad about the emperor and didn't kill the person.
You can edit this out, but that is one of the funniest things in all of history for me. Sorry, modern history, 20th century for it, is that Stalin just had people taken out of like paintings and pictures.
Yeah.
And you're just like, I just imagine that's what's happening. You're like,
there's a joke in Russian. It translates effectively to, it's World War II, and the generals are all sitting outside Stalin's office, and some guy comes out of Stalin's office, a general all pissed off, yelling out, stupid, penis with a mustache, and walks away. And the next general has to go in. He goes to the Stalin and says, oh, hey, governor or general, what's his nuts, just left. And we left here. He talked about a penis with a mustache. And Stalin goes, well, hold on. So he calls out and has the other general brought back in. And the two generals are sitting there in front of Stalin. Stalin turns to the guy who left, said, so this guy says that when you left, you were talking about some dumb penis with a mustache. Who are you talking about? And the guy looks at him and goes, Hitler, of course. And then it turns to the other general and says, who'd you think he was talking about? Anyway, it's a fun joke about a guy who murdered more people than anyone in history. Anyway, so.
Miles on the sideline going, whoa, bro.
Fine. You know what? Not a list. Let's just say, I mean, like, Pol Pot wasn't that bad.
I mean, that dude's putting up rookie numbers.
Exactly. Try harder. Anyway. Yeah,
weak sauce.
Fun thing that may have to edit out of the cast.
Yeah. Like, hey, we're comparing fucking mass genocides.
Yeah.
Weak sauce.
So. At this stage, the six clades are formed, and each is then head by, at this point, it was called a sire. Later, this becomes obviously just the leader. And they are Vindicare.
Well, the sire was too weird of a thing because they originally made this almost like vampire covens.
Yeah.
And obviously they went, oh, we need to change this because it's too much of a trope.
Mm-hmm. And so, but the original six are Vindicare, Eversor, Calexus, Vanus, Venenum, which the laziest name ever, we'll get to that later, and Calidus. Interesting thing is the original Eversors, there's actually not a lot of information on the original Eversor, but let's just say it's different than the modern Eversor. Same with the original Calexus. It's a little bit hard to figure out where their origins come from, but we'll cover them actually in the next cast. But let's dive into the Great Crusade and the Horus Heresy with the Assassins, because this is where they really start to come into their own. We've been talking about this a lot. So the Assassins were an invaluable resource during the Great Crusade. Send one guy out and he can overthrow a leader.
I mean, these are definitely bloodless coups, John.
Yeah, my notes here were it could create a bloodless coup. And then I commented that Brad and I both know history too well, that know that there's almost never in history
power
been a bloodless coup.
Have never, ever went badly.
There have been a couple close, and feel free to drop notes in here about bloodless coups, but I think we can all agree the ratio is not great.
Yeah.
But less blood clue, a coup, you know, that's a thing. And again, especially when compared to its space marines invading a planet.
It creates a shit show, but it creates a shit show that still keeps the wheels oiled and running.
Exactly. And that's what matters. But what's actually interesting to me is what we talked about earlier was, again, sending them out. They're going to kill off some imperial governor or ruler of a planet. Then the emperor shows up or whoever shows up and the planet becomes part of the imperial compliance. That's probably less than half of what the assassins were doing. The bigger piece they were doing was keeping the worlds compliant because, you know, Malkador had a whole lot of spies. So did Valdor, all over the place. And one of the challenges was, as you can imagine, Imperium shows up to some world that has survived the Dark Age. And the Emperor says, great, you're going to be part of our Imperium. And they're all super happy. Hey, we're part of something again. We're not just going to die.
Well, it's a big thing on this is that the assassins did a really good job, not just cooing, but keeping people in line because of the spies that they had all over the place. A lot of times what they did was, hey, is there going to be an uprising? And the assassin would show up for that.
Exactly.
So they snuffed uprisings out before they ever happened.
Exactly. Because what we were getting is people were, you know, these planets were becoming part of the Imperium. And then the Imperial tithe would kick in. And there were people there saying, hey, I don't like this.
Yeah, you because know, it sucks.
Yeah, we were actually better off before. Yeah,
because when I became one of the planets on the way to war and found out that you took, what do you need from us? Yes, yeah. All of your stuff.
You'd get people saying, well, this is BS. Well, you can't really go send the Space Marines to deal with this problem, but you can send an assassin to go say, all right, let's nip that in the butt. So,
and also, it's pretty terrifying when the rabble rousers all die in a night. And you're like, I don't know what just happened. And no one's taking credit for this. Matter of fact, these people are either just gone or brutally murdered.
Yeah, the assassins, we'll cover this next one. The assassins operate in two ways.
Yeah.
Subtle, gentle murder or message received. Yeah.
Or this is the stuff of nightmares. I know that this is probably wrong, but I just don't want that to happen to me. So I'm going to keep doing the bad thing.
Another key thing, though, that they did was really small-scale enemies. So one thing I wanted to spend some time on is that this era, there's no Inquisition. Right. The Imperium military is actually a giant behemoth.
And it's one thing.
Well, there's two. Space Marine and Imperial Army. But
it's still just the Imperium Army.
Exactly.
It is the machine that is pushing that way.
And so what this actually creates is a gap. Kind of like for those of us who know the world pretty well, you've got, you know, international waters. There's a lot of international water that exists because you've got planetary defense forces who are handling their planet or their system. You've got space marines who are really focusing on other stuff. This left a gap for what I call irritants. And the irritants are things like organized crime or pirate fleets. They realized pretty quickly that they could actually raid planets and then jump out of system, and there's no one, as long as they don't cause enough of a problem that the Imperium would send the military.
Because they...
Who cares?
And I say forward, but obviously it's 3D, so we're going everywhere.
Yeah.
But they don't want to backtrack. Once they conquer...
Exactly.
They conquer, they force, they leave.
Yeah.
That's done. We're going somewhere
else. And so what you got was these pirate... pirate fleets would... They kind of do small-scale raids. They'd hit a planet, and they wouldn't take enough that the Imperium was really struggling, but they'd take enough, obviously, to enrich themselves, and they'd skedaddle out of the system. So the Planetary Defense Force is like, well, we can't really chase them there, and now they're just somewhere.
And also, the best pirates took enough where it sucked for the populace, but left them enough to tithe.
Exactly. So then the Imperium's like just saying, hey, that's your problem.
Yeah. Like, hey, man, does this make it so it sucks immeasurably for the populace? Yeah, but we didn't have to slow down, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, cool.
And especially if they steal, to Brad's point, they steal just enough that the Imperial governor can't even afford to spend the money to go chase them down, right? Because he's got to hit his tithe quota. So they just would do this, except sometimes, and by sometimes I mean quite often, these pirate leaders would die horrifying deaths. Like the entire ship just gone. And that's because this is what the Officio Assassinorum would do. They would send a single assassin who would get onto the ship and would slaughter the pirate leader and everybody else in front of everybody, and then transmit the vid recording.
Yeah, they did stuff like skin people and things. Yeah. It was not great.
And this was how the Imperium prevented, you're always going to get these little pirate fleet flare-ups, but you never got a lot of them because everyone realized that.
Yeah, but also if like on primetime TV, you take someone's skin off and feed them to him.
Yeah.
It's not the greatest. You're like, hey, I was going to do that, and now I'm not.
I'm just laughing that Jukari are doing a raid and just going to look up on it. I'm like, the CNN of the time and watching a live stream of an assassin, flaying somebody, and they're like, oh, so you guys are already doing this?
Yeah, say,
can we hire that guy? Like,
he's doing good work.
someone from RHR team should call and see if we can recruit
him. Give him a better deal.
Exactly.
What kind of dental do you guys get?
All right, but jumping ahead, this all shifts at Istvan 4. And actually, funny thing is, it's actually not Istvan 4. It's the completion of the flight of the Eisenstein.
I was going to say, Istvan 4, if the flight of the Eisenstein doesn't happen, the Horus Heresy goes down with us going, remember our all-powerful leader, Horus?
Yeah. It's not called the Horus Heresy. It's the Horus, ascended, just Emperor Horus. Yeah. Yeah. It's just Emperor Horus.
Yeah.
So this, and just quick, recap, the Eisenstein was a ship that was on Istvan 4, fled, got back to Earth, and they were the ones who told the Emperor about it.
Also,
everything.
Easily, nothing at all bad happened to him.
It was kind of a rough trip. Really great book, and is the launching point for quite a few different armies. Yeah. But anyway, the Horus Heresy breaks out, and the Officio Assassinorum takes on a much more aggressive role. They move away from this kind of behind the scenes killing of leaders, killing of pirates, to, hey, we have to go kill Space Marines and Primarchs.
Also, no. Miyamichi.
Who?
Conrad Cruz. Come on.
Which, it's Kurz.
Yeah, I don't care. I mispronounced it once, like 20 years ago, and I just stood with it.
There. We'll get there on the next episode. We're going to talk about his death, but so the good thing for the assassins, the good thing for the Imperium is that every single assassin temple sort of is on Terra at this stage, which meant it, there was no way for Horus to reach out to them. Horus, obviously tried to turn people.
Bad news bears.
Yeah.
Horus got a hold of the assassin temples.
And so they all were fully loyal to the Emperor, which is helpful because otherwise this could have gone pretty shitty. Now, during the heresy, the downside of what I'm just telling you here is that during the heresy, we actually don't get a lot of good assassin stories of them being successful. It's mostly them almost killing Horus.
Horus smokes them a lot.
But, yeah, and also losing the most jacked up Eversor in history to Chaos Fleets, which they then have to go kill. So it's got this weird thing, but the truth is, the Officio Assassinorum was extremely active during this time. And what they were active doing is they actually were killing Space Marines pretty consistently, primarily like Space Marine sergeants, Space Marine lieutenants, picking them off, Chaos, obviously, traitor ones, obviously, picking them off and slowing it down.
They picked company commanders off too.
Yep. They also did a really good job of killing off traitor worlds. So when a world would align with Horus, they seemed to not be able to hold a leader for more than a day or two because they all just kept dying day after day after day because they just would insert an assassin there and just like, kill all of them until someone phones the Emperor.
Are you still a traitor? Yep. Okay.
All right. There we go again. Next.
Just letting you know, whoever takes this job by noon is going to be dead.
Yeah, you might want to call Earth and say, hey, we've had a change of,
I'm just saying,
of thought.
Otherwise, your HR should post the position as open.
Yeah. And I will say, for those of you who play the game on the tabletop, yeah, assassins should just shred Space Marines because the stories in this time mostly consist of them shredding Space Marines.
We'll go into that in the next cast, though, because the power of assassins, depending on the book, is wildly disparate.
Yeah. And there is an assassin who does kill a Primarch, actually fairly easily.
No, I will hit you with a spray bottle, John. Get off the couch. No, bad job, bad.
This is me messing with Brad and his favorite novel.
God damn it.
All right, but it's actually where the Assassins really come into their own from a lore standpoint is post-Heresy. And this makes sense. From GW writing standpoint, the Heresy was about the splitting of the Space Marines. It's about, that's most of the battles involve Space Marines. All these things happen. But the Heresy ends and the Imperium is fractured. We've got a second founding. We get the nightmare of the Lords of Terra. This is where it all kind of goes. And so that's what I want to dive into now.
We'll be right back after a quick break.
Let's set the stage correctly for post-Heresy. The Emperor is now on the Golden Throne, not communicating with anybody, you know, except for maybe the Custodes. The Lords of Terra moved from a figurehead to actual leaders because
fuck you.
Malkador's dead.
That's specifically for the Lords of Terra. And yes, I am physically angry about a made-up figures.
Yeah, and they're not real, and Brad gets super upset about it.
My heart rate goes up just hearing the term.
But yeah, so Malkador's dead. Valdor is sad and will soon walk away. All the Space Marine Primarchs are just on, I'm going to go beat up some traitor Space Marines. So there's just actually no one really to run the show. And the Imperium starts to operate. All the pieces of the Imperium start to kind of realize they can do whatever they want.
We have to do this as a side note, though, because the Lords of Terra were super confident that they were going to be able to use the Assassins, and the Assassins just went full black. Like,
what hey, if man, I just don't return your phone?
Yeah,
this was a bunch of like...
this number doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, I was about to say, yeah, the Lords of Terra texting the Assassins, and the Assassins are just, they're seeing the little bubble pop up, and then no words.
Yeah. Yeah, they just completely ghosted the Lords of Terra, which did make me super happy, because I hate the Lords of Terra. Yeah. I don't know if you ever got this. A lot. Yeah. And the Assassins just went, we think you suck, and we're going to do whatever the hell we think we're going to do.
And what makes this a little bit rough is the original master of the Assassins was Malkador, who's the Emperor's right-hand man. Well, Malkador is very dead. And now a new master of Assassins has to come into play, who is a mortal.
Yes, and also not a being of supreme... Malkador was wildly a super genius. I mean, this guy was...
He's also a perpetual, so he'd been alive for thousands of years... Yeah, spend all of his time next to the Emperor and Valdor.
But also, he's a guy that can handle having legitimately tens of thousands of operations, things that he's charge of at a time. Normal people can't do that. Like, he's effectively a supercomputer in himself. Then you just went, oh, we went from the guy that handles things like a supercomputer to Ted.
Yeah.
It doesn't go as well after Ted takes charge.
So we covered this back in episode 23 for a bit, but let's kind of rehash it here because it is a fun one. So there's a new master of assassins called Draken Van Gorovich. I don't know why they always had to be Russian.
I mean, it sounds cooler than me saying Ted, yeah. But...
And I actually... So here's the thing. Van Gorovich starts off with a really empathetic story. He's the master of the assassins at the outbreak of the War of the Beast through the end of the War of the Beast. And he realizes that the Lords of Terra are worthless and actually, you know, they're worse than worthless because they actually almost made the War of the Beast.
Yeah.
You know, a success for the Beast.
Yeah.
And he said, what this does is, we'll get a bit more to the details here in a minute, but effectively he pulls off Godfather 1 level murder where every single Lord of Terror dies in like a few minute space.
Yeah, I was just about to say, everybody gets stabbed in the face.
Yeah, if you don't know what I'm talking about,
also,
go watch.
Watch the first Godfather?
Yeah, go watch it.
Yeah, stop this cast right now.
Go now. And also go watch Jaws. I don't know why that matters, but same thing. If you haven't seen Jaws either.
Why Jaws? I mean, Jaws is a great movie.
I think Jaws is actually one of the better movies that's ever been made.
Screw this. We're going here on the cast.
Okay.
Godfather, 100% perfect for this. And then you just went Jaws, which has nothing to do with anything. Great movie,
because Jaws is amazing because it's the difference is the Godfather doesn't have a dumb, poorly made shark robot in it for no reason. Well, not for no reason. It made sense for the movie Jaws. But it's a terrible, every scene with the shark in that movie is dog shit. But the acting is so good that you're like, yeah, I can put up with that final scene where it's on the boat, like just like shaking back and forth with the least amount of fear possible. Yeah. Anyway.
Should have brought a bigger boat.
So the story on Van Gorich and kind of where this all, we're going to basically do our Ahriman cast type character arch, but we're going to do it in about 5 minutes. So Van Gorich is notified by the Inquisition that there's a massive orc invasion. Not a small incursion, but this giant thing. And the Lords of Terra all basically say, yeah, but I don't want to have to deal with it.
Well, they all don't want to lose power in their systems.
Yeah. So he actually, so he ends up deploying his assassins to them. And let's just say my favorite one is the Ecclesiarchy, where he himself poisons the head of the Ecclesiarchy, a la Indiana Jones Temple of Doom, holds the antidote in front of the guy and says, I'm only giving this to you if you declare a holy war against the orcs. This is kind of badass. He actually figures out that the Admech know secrets of how they could easily defeat the orcs and don't want to share it. So he goes there and threatens to kill that guy. And he basically just goes on a journey around the Lords of Terror, getting the Imperial Navy, getting everyone to commit to murdering the orcs. And he's actually the reason why the War of the Beast ends in the positively for the Imperium. It's because without him, it would have just been the Space Marines getting their asses kicked, which is what happened in War of the Beast, with no support. So he saves the Imperium. During this time, you know, the Imperial Fists, we covered this last one, Imperial Fists effectively lose everything, but there's one guy left, and Maximus Thane, again, hate when people use the word Maximus. I hate people use the word Maximus. It's the dumbest thing.
The better part of this is he leaves and goes, okay, these guys are screwing up. You need to make sure they don't screw up. And
no, it's worse that you're saying. What he says is Maximus Thane, who's the Lord, who's, you know, the head of the Imperial.
He's the Space Marine contingent of the Lords of Terror.
Says to the head of the assassins, hey, I need you to oversee the Lords of Terra and make sure they don't do anything stupid.
He immediately kills them.
Yeah, all of them.
Like, I don't even know if the door's shut. He's like leaving and he goes, no problem.
And we covered this. You know, so he over Van Gorch then rules Terra. Technically the Imperium for I believe it was 100 years.
Longer, I think.
Yeah. Just
I'd have to go back to our that on that.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, pause. There's a funnier part to this. He does is he murders them all, and then he does a combo of weakened at Bernie's and don't tell moms the babysitter's dead.
Oh yeah.
Because like it was over 100 years.
It's 100+.
100+ years. So every time someone tries to get a hold of a Lord of Terra, he either says, they're in the bathroom.
He's banking. He's in the kitchen right now.
He can't come to the phone, or he props up someone else who kind of looks like him.
Flops him around. Yeah. By the way, I need everybody to know that as always, this is no video, and
Brad is all physical.
Just straight physical comedy.
He's doing his Weekend at Bernie's reference, which if you haven't seen, you're fine. You can both movies I referenced there.
Fucking 80s movie.
Yeah, both movies I referenced. You can just go to the Wikipedia, read the plot. You'll be done in 5 minutes. So for 100 years, Van Gorich runs the Imperium, but things are kind of getting worse and there's starting to be problems until the Imperial Fists come back to the galaxy, arrive at Terra and say, oh, hey, we want to talk to the Lords of Terra. And Van Gorich has to go, yeah, so about that. my bad. And runs away and hides in the Eversor Temple. The Imperial Fists invade the Eversor Temple with 400 Space Marines.
It's not 400 regular dudes, by the way.
It's 400 of the top.
Yeah, it's their best. They sent their best.
I believe there might have been some Terminators in there.
Yeah.
To 100 Eversors. The final count was 99 dead Eversors, so one alive, 3 Space Marines. So the Eversors held a 3-to-1 kill ratio against Imperial Fist Super Soldier Space Marines.
Also, the Eversor that made it got novels written about it.
Yeah, Esad Wire, who had a different name before. Yeah, it just read The Beheading. This is actually, so this is all, it's a really cool story. It's this, the book that we're referencing off is called The Beheading. It's just good. Anyway, but Van Gorich is dead and they realize, okay, now they don't remove the assassins because they're still way too valuable. They just don't let them be in charge of...
They don't let the assassins just assassinate whoever the fuck want.
Yeah, they kind of let them keep doing that. They just didn't put they just never gave them the direction of, hey, keep an eye on the Lords of Terra.
Also, he didn't do a bad job, by the way.
He didn't do a great job, but he was probably better than the Lords of Terra.
Better than the Lords of Terra were going to do.
Fair point. So the next part is also covered in episode 23, so if you guys want to hear this twice, involves Goge Vandir. Goge Vandir is the guy who was the head of the Administratum, who then became the head of everything.
This guy sucks a tornado. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but he did it. He basically did the same thing Vandir did, but just Vandivich did, but in his own way, where he then took control of all of the Lords of Terra and all the pieces.
But I hate this guy so much more because he did it through the faith of the masses.
Yeah. And then Goge, just like Van Dorich, had control of the Assassin's Guild. So once he's built up this giant thing and he actually ends up fortifying Terra, it made it impossible to do anything because even if you tried to organize to go do something about him, he deployed the assassins. It wasn't until the Space Marines were interested that the last time the Custodes popped their head out because they were actually back on Terra and then convinced Goge's personal retinue of female warriors to become the Sisters of Battle and slaughter him.
This is also when he tried to do the old, this is when we got the beginning of the Sisters on that because they went, you can't have a standing force of men.
Yeah. And then somebody became this, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, at the end of Goge, the Imperium, you actually saw a restructure.
Also, if you haven't listened to our episode with him, it's an actual it's one of my favorite episodes because I'm very, fairly passionate about what happened. Because he's such a douche, and the Sisters were so cool.
Yeah.
And they smoke-fest him.
Oh, they got so mad, and they did some horrible things.
Yeah, like, he gets his comeuppance, you know what I mean? So
at the end of this, the Imperium realizes that it was too linear. So we need to actually start having overlapping forms to create protection. So
we need more bureaucracy on top of bureaucracy.
Yeah. But I mean, they weren't wrong in this scenario.
They're not right either.
That's fair. This is a lazy solution to a problem that they made.
They basically said, we need more paperwork before we do bad stuff.
Because what they wanted to do is they wanted to make sure that one bad apple couldn't spoil the whole lot. So
I get it, but they went, we don't want this to happen again. What should we do? And they went, how about we just make everything you ever want to do, make going to the BMV.
Not a real place.
Feel like the best thing you've ever done.
Ohio's not a real place. It's just not.
I'm driving back there today.
It's not a real place.
With my fake license.
Yeah, it's not a real place. Anyway, from the Officio Assassinorum standpoint, they decided to scatter them. And move them. They were already on hidden temples. But they were all across Terra. They decided to actually spread them throughout the galaxy. The reason why is this way, they could always deploy the assassins against each other. The problem when they were all on Terra is they all seemed to be on the side of whoever was in control of Terra. And that's a pretty nasty force. So this way, by spreading them out, you now have to actually convince each and every assassin to be on your side. They also added, and I wish this group had a playable model, the Ordo Sicarius, which is under the Inquisition. So these were Inquisition assassins. Sounds cool, right? Really cool. GW never made a model, and I'm still mad about that because I would play the...
They also made their own assassins because, let's roll this back too, we're skipping a little thing, because the Inquisition was put in charge of monitoring, not controlling the assassins, and the assassins originally just went, nah, and kept killing those
guys. What I was going to say. That's why. Because they could have been monitoring, not controlling, because they probably first said controlling, and then all of them. And then they're like,
they just kept murdering.
Yeah, we just lost 40% of our Inquisition like force overnight. Can we write that memo again? Yeah. And maybe lettering?
Also, we should get our own assassins. So it's kind of the thing also. They went, hey, remember every time we send somebody and they just kill them? You're like, oh, well, tell them not to do that.
Yeah. So what they, but they are the Inquisition then makes some new rules. And the first rule is that assassins can no longer operate independently.
With them operating independently before, it led to them just deciding to snuff out people. The problem is that they had good ideas. Oh,
they were always correct, sort of, in their idea.
Yeah, but they didn't, they don't have a galaxy view. They have a, this guy said some shit about the Imperium and or is skimming off the top. And the Imperium goes, we don't care that this guy pockets 15% all the time. He keeps tithing. Don't kill Ted.
Yeah. And the, and it doesn't go, we already killed Ted. And luckily his son, Eric, is a complete moron and has now taken over. So this is where
and they instead had of skimming 15%, he put production down minus 50%. Yeah. You're like, no. And then he also screwed up and didn't reinforce the planet and they got sacked.
The other thing that, that the assassins were having a problem with was, of course, the Lords of Terra. So the Lords of Terra like to use them to assassinate their rivals. So
constantly.
So the Inquisition added in, you now need a 2/3 majority vote by the Lords of Terra in order for the assassins to be sent on a mission.
They should need a 5/3.
By the way, zero. It's funny. Okay, so this is written in numerous codexes. 2/3 majority, 2/3 majority, 2/3 majority. And you read the things the assassins did, and like, there's no way that anyone's even told they were doing this. Like, so it's like, I believe this is one of those things where we wrote a rule down. Does anyone follow it? No. Because, like Gilliman or Trajan Valoris just send assassins out. And I don't think, I mean, I guess they maybe they send an email to the Lords of Terra. I did this thing, and, and every Lord of Terra goes, I approve.
There's zero chance that there's a CC from Trajan or Bobby G about anything that they're ever going to do.
The next two that I like, though, are they also, after every mission, the assassins have to hand over all their findings to the Inquisition so the English can look over it and make sure that they followed what they were supposed to be doing, which is an adorable concept. Again, the Inquisition, just so maybe Brent and I are laughing, for those of you who maybe aren't listening, why this is so funny to us, there is no member of the Inquisition who could stand up to an assassin. Like, there's not, like, Eisenhorn just dies instantly. I mean, like, none of, there's no.
I don't know if there's anybody that's part of the Inquisition that would even know as he's hitting the floor how and why he died.
So that's why this idea of the Inquisition saying to the assassins, all right, when you're done with your assignment, I want you to bring it to me and then and sit there while I review it.
Put your assassins, cover letter on your TPS report.
Yeah, for those of us old enough to remember how to, you used to be able to send faxes, you could use letters to make a middle finger and it would just come out of the fax. I assume that's all the assassins send after each one of these, the Inquisition. Like, here's my report. It's 12 pages.
Also, I made some copies of me sitting on the copy
machine. Exactly. Yeah, like exactly.
Just all of these were just like silly. And you're just like, we're never going to do
this. You're never going to do this. Where's your report? You got it. Yeah. It's just a turd.
You know I'll murder you. Yeah, right?
They just actually send poop.
It would be nice package.
Oh yeah. They put some little glitter on it. Just make sure they understand, like, I am not doing this. The last one though, which actually is adorable, is all the assassins are supposed to, I do not believe this has been on one time, all supposed to undergo routine indoctrination by the Inquisition. This is to make sure that they're always of sound mental capacity and are focused on preserving the Imperium.
Well, except
one of them is not happening. Yeah, one of them is the Eversor, which, no. Also,
I'm actually looking forward to the next episode just so I can go, wow, what were you guys thinking?
I also just like, but think about, like, what I like about this is, okay, so we've got, we'll go with one of the lighter ones. A Caladius is just now is going to sit there across from some inquisitors who are going to ask him questions to make sure it feels good about itself.
Also, the Caladius, who is a master manipulator and can morph into people.
Can change shape, is just going to sit there while you just check. So how's your mental function today?
You know, I'm just going to make myself look like you and go home.
Yeah. I'm just going to walk out of this room.
And I'm going to kill you and go home and eat dinner with your family.
I believe this happened. This probably happened a couple times where like one of the new inquisitors that no one liked, they made him go do this. This is that piece of like, it's a way of testing if you could actually be an inquisitor. It's like, are you dumb enough to think you can indoctrinate a Caladius? Yeah, I totally got this. Well, this is not going to be a problem because he would have fallen to chaos instantly. Way too stupid.
Just letting you know, there's a good chance he just ruined your family.
Yeah, exactly.
he did a Kaiser Soze. He killed everyone you know and everybody that owed money to you. You're like, what? What? Why? You should have probably not talked shit to that guy.
But this all leads us to what I would call the modern officio assassin norm. And in the modern officio assassin norm, they have become a critical part of the war effort. And I say this not only from a lore standpoint, but it's also even in gameplay. The assassins really, 8th edition, started seeing a lot more play on the table, especially 8th edition.
Well, assassins take part in way more battles.
Yeah.
Thing like actual, we need you to do this in the vanguard of the battle we're about to fight.
Gilliman saw a lot of value in the assassins and really started utilizing them a lot more. And this is made easier by the fact that, you know, as the galaxy has gone to war, the Schola Progenium is now a lot bigger. The more war there is, the more orphans. And the Schola Progenium fleet makes, you know, the black ships look just a little less nightmare. They're still horrible.
It's such a giant nightmare. Yeah. And it becomes a larger nightmare because they become a larger organization.
That's why. So there are more. The Schola Progenium in the 41st millennia is chocked full because the Imperium is actually effectively breeding. We also have some cloning, which we'll get into the next one too. But the assassin program is just kicking these guys out. And the reason that that's important is assassins, the only positive, and this is the only positive to becoming an assassin, is you have one of the lowest mortality rates in the entire Imperium.
Yeah, except for the fact that your beginning of your life is a nightmare of, we're going to make movies about it.
And I also nightmare. Should put out, when I say the lowest mortality rate, it's once you've become an assassin, the route there has a decently high mortality rate.
It's not even the mortality rate. Even you're like, hey, there's a good chance you still might die. And also we wanted to make sure everything about your upbringing was the worst thing that could happen to anyone ever.
Well, yeah, let's actually talk about that a little bit because I do want to circle back to the Schola Progenium and talk about how this now works for assassins because we kind of understand what the assassin's purpose is. We sandwiched it this way to make a bit more sense. But anyway, so before the assassins are ever even picked up by the Schola Progenium, they've already been tagged by the local recruiters.
As children.
Oh, yeah, these are children. Some of them are a little bit older. I mean, like,
it depends when they pick.
Some of these would be scouts for you and your army. Brad and I just got back from an event where he was sacrificing scouts.
I've spent multiple games where I didn't kill all my children.
You forgot them on one table. That's how little they meant to you.
That's true. I did not play with a whole unit for 3 games.
Yeah. Anyway, before these orphans are even loaded onto the ship, they're being segmented out. This is where the trials basically begin. So most of them are put through trials to just kind of improve their combat prowess, you know, figure out any inner abilities. Because the officio is looking for is, you know, future scions, future commissars, future whatever. This is where we're going, or future sisters, etc. However,
the best of the best of that, if you have skills plus an affinity for a specific thing. Are you a manipulator? Are you a blood rage guy? Are you willing to sneak and throw a stick at somebody?
You're putting a lot of words here. It's murder. It's the ones which are the children who just seem to relish in killing. Murder? Well, it's true. Yeah, type of murder. But that was, it was more a matter of.
But also, it's not like they just went, these are murder children. They went, hey, if we do terrible things to babies, children, what is the reaction? And you're like, a couple of them fight back. How do they fight back?
How good are they at fighting back? And yeah, and Brad's right. I mean, can they steal? What it was the orphans they found who were forming their own like murder gangs on what might have been an Imperial cruiser.
You got to remember the ships are so big that the ships are cities on and amongst themselves. So, yeah. Like there's a full, I don't even know what to call it. There's almost a society of children. It's Lord of the Flies, basically.
Oh, yeah.
But they're letting this happen.
Because they have to.
Well, the thing is that they're letting it happen, but they're monitoring it the entire time. Like, the kids don't know this.
Yeah.
At any point in time, they could have stepped in because they're watching every movie.
Well, they're on the lower decks. That's what happens. I mean, they cover this decently well in the Rogue Trader video game. But yeah, if you're on the lower decks, we don't really care. Oh, there's a rebellion in the lower deck. Yeah. All right, it's the lower deck. But anyway, these ones now end up in the Skola Progenium, and they start moving them through the testing. And, you know, part of the testing is, of course, do you have the pariah gene?
And woe is you if you have the pariah gene. Seriously, though, it's bad news, man.
I know, but they're just so cool. I'm sorry.
I mean, they're super cool.
They're so cool. And I have ADD, so the idea of being a Vindicare just sounds so boring. Just so boring.
Sitting motionless for days.
I think this sounds so boring versus just use your mind and just melt the soul of a psyker. Sounds anyone. But effectively, they go once on the ship, they start putting them through some really rough trials. And these trials are worse. They said
rough.
Yeah.
It was like, hey, man, I had a rock in my shoe in the hike. It was rough. This is slightly more than that.
It's a little bit worse than that. So effectively, multiple things are being done to these children. First off, they're going to be fighting multiple times a day to the death.
Yeah.
They also will just not give them food or very limited food to see how long you can survive.
Well, it's not even just that. They expect you to go find and get the food by killing other people for their food.
Well, that, and they also would just put them in a room and not feed them for 2 weeks to see, can you survive? They would also lower the oxygen supply to see what would happen. They'd turn the heat way up or turn it off.
Way down.
Yeah, or turn it off. Total darkness, blinding light, make the effectively, and this, these are horrible things to do, but this is designed.
These are also horrific. These are still, we're not even, this is the things we passed over. All the things we're saying are all way low. If they were going to do a talk show and say the bad things that happened to me on the black ship, and then you would go, well, yeah, these were whatever, man.
Yeah, this is the one I do like, though, is they also would just randomly turn off the gravity just to see. Like, let's see how you handle this. But the idea was that before they even get back to Terra, they know if these are candidates for assassin, because you have to be able to handle all of these to be an assassin. And there's a decent amount of time that what arrives back in Terra is an empty ship.
All I'm saying is if you're in the Imperium later in history, you're listening to our cast later on.
Yeah.
If you're getting tested by the Imperium, stay right in the middle of the bell curve and it'll probably all work out.
It's decently well. Yeah. If you exceed, especially in the assassin section, it's just going to get a lot worse.
It's just shittier.
So what ends up happening, though, is that the ships come back and they arrive back on Terra. And now they get divided amongst the assassin temples. Depending on how they scored on their tests coming in, they then get divvied up. Really have no idea what makes good Eversor. Like, what you do to get them. I mean, the Vindicare is pretty obvious. Oh, you can sit really still. They can be calm.
I think it's a broken mind, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but a broken mind that's not... Because, I mean, they're all broken minds. You can make a lot of Eversors.
Like, the Eversors are the ones that, like, were the most violent, the fastest, the strongest, and the most broken mind.
Oh, I see. But the ones you just couldn't control.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Because, like, those are the ones we are on deep freeze right now, basically.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're going to get there. So, from there, I think that's probably a good spot to break here so we can get to the next one. So, on the next episode, we're going to dive into actually the individual assassins. So we'll do all four playable assassins plus the three or four others that also exist. Some are in Horus Heresy.
There's two reels. There's one other.
Three reels. And then
there's six total.
That's right. There's six total. But then you're right. So you're right. That's your point. Yeah. So we'll cover the four playable assassins in the game plus two others that are actually available in Horus Heresy and one more that just has a funny story. That one. Oopsies. So join us next week as we conclude the coverage of Officio Assassinorum. This has been John Brasati and Brad Chester.
This guy.
See you guys next week.